Welcome to another edition of the Morning Devotional. My name is Pastor William Hill. I'm the pastor of Providence Presbyterian Church located in Evansville, Indiana. If you'd like to find out more information about the church, you can visit our website. That information will be available to you at the conclusion of this video. Today is Thursday, May 18th, 2023. This is edition number 87 of Season 8. We are still looking at the Westminster Confession of Faith. We're in chapter 16 on the subject of good works. Today we'll take up paragraph number 5. Let's pray first, and then we'll consider God's Word as well as this paragraph from the Confession of Faith together. Our most glorious God in heaven, we come to you again with a recognition that we are in desperate need of your Spirit if we're to do any good in this world at all, if we're to please you in any way. If we're to understand your word, we need him to teach us. And we know and we are thankful that your word tells us that you are pleased to grant him to us as we ask. And so we ask that your Spirit would guide and direct our thoughts in this brief time, that we would further understand your word, all that you demand of us, that knowing we would then joyfully do that which we know. And so be kind to us, even now we pray for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, we come to paragraph number 5 here in chapter 16, dealing with the subject of good works. There we read, "We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God, by reason of the great disproportion that is between them and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that is between us and God, whom by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. But when we have done all we can, we have done but our duty and are unprofitable servants. And because, as they are good, they proceed from his Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they are defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment." Now, there's quite a bit here wrapped up into this fifth paragraph of chapter 16. But the thing that we need to see right away as we're dealing with this question of good works is something that the historic Christian faith has held on to and believed for quite some time. And that is that opening line there in paragraph number 5. We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God. That is to simply say that our good works do not merit a thing before a holy God. That is why, and precisely why, we need a Savior who kept God's law perfectly in thought, word, and deed, and did what we could not do and never could do. You and I could live many lifetimes and never accomplish what is required. And the paragraph goes on to tell us why that is, by reason of the great disproportion that is between them, that is to say, the works you offer, and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that is between us and God. We have to remember, now, he is the thrice holy God. We are merely his creatures. And so by them we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. We cannot satisfy that insurmountable debt. We cannot pay that debt. Someone else had to pay it for us, somebody who had the means to pay for it. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. "For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." That is simply to say that one of the three uses of the law is that of a mirror. It's held up to us, and it shows us our sinfulness. The law shows us our shortcomings, shows us our transgressions, shows us how far short we fall of from God's glory. And that is what is required if we are to merit pardon of sin by our own actions. We are to keep the law perfectly in thought, word, and deed, but because of indwelling sin, because we are sinners, we do not and we will not keep that. That is to say that it's impossible for us to do enough to please or merit the the kindness and grace of God. That is something that comes to us by faith. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so this paragraph really demonstrates to us the limitations that are upon us when it comes to our efforts to merit any kind of attention from a holy God because of the great distance that exists between us and Him. Chad Van Dixhorn, on page 210 of his commentary on the Confession, says the most obvious limitation to our best works is that they do not merit pardon of sin or eternal life. Thus, we can never boast before a holy God. We can never say to Him, look how much I've done, look what I did, look how nice I was, look how much money I gave to the church, look how kind I was to my neighbor. We always fall short of God's glory, His perfection, His holiness, even on our best day. And that's what the Confession goes on to say. It says that even when we have done all we can, we have done but our duty. That is merely to say that this we have done what we owe. We've done nothing more. We have done our duty and are unprofitable servants. And even on our best day, a day in which we might think we managed to get through that day somehow without violating God's law in thought, word, or deed, don't be deceived, you didn't. But let's assume for the sake of argument you managed to somehow do that. You've done just your duty. God doesn't look at you now and say, oh, what a wonderful person you are because you did that. I think I'll go ahead and just, you know, you've purchased your own salvation for yourself. That would invalidate and the necessity of Christ's atoning work for His need to come at all. If we could save ourselves by our labors, by our efforts, why would Jesus have to come and rescue us from our sin? No, even on our best days, we have done but our duty. Luke chapter 17, verse 10, so likewise ye, when you shall have done all those things which are commanded, you say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. And so we must keep this in mind, very important, that in our labors to do good works before a holy God, they fall short. And on those times when we have what appears to be a fairly good day, we still have only done our duty, we've done nothing more, we have not merited God's favor or attention because of our good works. However, our good works are indeed good, and they are that because they are covered by the blood of Christ, and they spring from the work of the Holy Spirit, and they proceed from the Spirit of God. Romans chapter 8, verses 13 and 14, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, this is talking about the process of sanctification. This is talking about the life that is to be lived after one comes to faith in Christ. We are to be busy putting to death the deeds of the flesh, the Spirit warring against the flesh against the Spirit. The works of the law are manifest, Galatians chapter 5, but the fruit of the Spirit, again, Galatians chapter 5. But we must always keep in mind that those good works spring from or proceed from the Spirit of God, though they are wrought by us in the sense that we are doing them. But it is the Spirit that grants to us the graces necessary to do those things that God has indeed commanded and those things that are, according to God's word, good works. And so we read of those things. What are those things? Well, at least one list of things that the Spirit brings and upon the sinner in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. And that's the works of the flesh, starting in verse 19. They have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And so the Spirit is the one who undergirds us, who helps us and perseveres us, and we cooperating then therefore with the Spirit, produce those good works that God has created in Christ Jesus that we should do. But we need to remember that even in our best works, those are defiled, they are mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they themselves, those works alone, cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. Isaiah 64 in verse 6, verse that we all know, I think, pretty well, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And so this paragraph isn't designed, of course, to discourage Christians from doing that which God has commanded. No, not at all. It's designed to encourage us to recognize that we can't merit God's favor by our good works. He is pleased to reward us in Christ when we do the things that He has commanded. He treats us as sons and daughters in that way, but we do not merit it. We have it secured to us by Christ, who has done what we cannot do. And those good works will flow out of a faith in out of that faith in Christ as evidences of a true and lively faith. But those works flow from the work of the Holy Spirit. And even though they fall short of all that God demands, even though they are mixed with many weaknesses and imperfections because of indwelling sin still remaining in us, we know that God is pleased by them because they're viewed and seen through the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. It's not until glory when those imperfections and weaknesses will be resolved, and there we will always do what is right in thought, word, and deed, every moment of every single day, if you want to call it a day, that eternal day. We will always honor the God of heaven. We will always give glory to Him in everything that we think or do or say. But until then, we continue on persevering in the faith once given to the saints. We lean upon the Holy Spirit to give us the guidance and the will and the purpose and the desire to please the God of heaven. And we continually pray for His help as we do so. We can remember that confidence that we have, that as we ask for the Spirit, God is pleased to grant Him to His children. That is why one of the reasons why we pray before every devotional, and it's one of the things that I say quite often, one of the things I often pray when I'm on the platform before the preaching of God's Word is that God would remember His promise to me and grant me His Holy Spirit that I might be able to rightly proclaim His truth to His people. And so we live in dependence upon the Spirit to do these things. And we thank the God of heaven for doing that for us. Well, I trust these times are helpful for you. If they are, if you have any comments or questions, you can leave me a note. The way to reach me is there before you on the screen. Additionally, there is the church website where I pastor, as well as my own personal website if you'd like to take a look at those things at some point. And so until the Friday edition, when we continue looking at chapter 16 on good works, may the Lord help you today. May you trust Him. May you lean upon the Spirit as you strive to honor your God in heaven. God bless.